Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Madeline Ashby. Madeline is a science fiction writer and a futurist living in Toronto. Her most recent novel, Company Town, was a finalist for the 2017 CBC Books Canada Reads Prize. She's also developed science fiction prototypes for Institute for the Future, Sci Futures, Data and Society, Nesta, the Atlantic Council, NASA, and others. It's a great pleasure to have you on, Madeline. How are you doing?
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I'm so glad. You've got a great list of tools, so let's talk about them. Why don't we start with the Clarisonic Mia? I have no idea what that is, but
I'm so delighted that I get to talk about this. The Clarisonic is a device that uses the same technology as something like a Sonicare toothbrush. Actually, they were developed by, I think, the same company in Redmond, Washington. Mm-hmm. But it uses the technology behind the Sonicare toothbrush and other sort of ultrasonic cleaning devices to wash your face. It's a device that has a brush on one end of it and basically vibrates across your face at a certain frequency and vibrates the bristles on a brush head to exfoliate your face. And it works like a dream. And I've owned one for about 4 years now, and it has yet to die, which I suppose I'm jinxing myself, but all of those 4 years have been wonderful. So it's a wonderful device. I bought it when I turned 30 as mm-hmm. a gift to myself because I wanted to actually start taking my skin seriously and mm-hmm. for once. And I've found that much like a Sonicare toothbrush, which I also have, having the device forced me to be more mindful about what I was doing. And encouraged me in a good habit, which was, you know, washing my face mm-hmm. in the morning and at night. The logic behind the Clarisonic is that because you've exfoliated with this device, you know, anything you put on your skin, like serums or sunscreen or anything like that, will actually go deeper into your skin. I don't know about the actual science of that, but I do think that anything that actually helps you wash your face is probably good for you in the long term.
Does it hurt? I mean, I'm just looking at this sort of, it's a kind of, I don't know, but the size of a cross section of a tennis ball, and that's rubbing yeah. against your face, and there's ultrasound. Does it tingle? Does it scratch? Is it, you know, lovely? Does it tickle?
I find it lovely, but there are multiple brush heads that you can buy based on the type of skin you have or that you think that you have. So I try to hunt down the acne brushes as much as I can, but I've also used the regular, the sensitive, the deep pore. There's one that's especially for men that they say is like somehow tougher or more rugged or something like that. That can be used over a beard. I think that's like really, because the idea is that you wash your whole face with it. So like, obviously you don't put it like on your eyes or uh-huh. something like that. That uh-huh. would be bad. Although they do make something that is just for the under eye area. There is also, you can also get like an extension that sort of you can use for exfoliation on your body. But I don't have one of those. Like there are a bunch of different fancy models. I shared with you the most basic model, which is the one that I have, because I'm not entirely convinced on the utility of the more expensive models, but you can get sort of a smart edition that tells you stuff and you can set timers and vary, vary frequencies and vary duration and stuff like that. You can program it as much as you need to.
And other than the fact that it hasn't died over 4 years, have you noticed a difference in your skin?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yes. That's yes. There's a huge, it's a huge difference. It's the type, I have always had bad skin, or had always had bad skin until I did this. And it turned from people saying, like, it turned from, it was the first time in my life that I had ever been complimented on my skin.
Okay.
Wow, that's cool. And how about your husband? Does he have interest in using this as well?
Not really, but I do like let him use it when, if he has sinus clogging or like sinus pressure or a sinus headache, mm-hmm. because you can flip it around and turn it on and then rub it over, like rub the flat side, over your sinuses. And it starts, to sort of, it works like an avalanche. Like it's like hearing a loud noise and that triggers an avalanche, but just your sinuses. So wow. I've used it when I've had like really terrible sinus headaches or cool. the flu or something like that. So
like
it's
an off-label use.
Yes, exactly. That's kind of the off-label use is this thing. You can also, the other thing I can sort of endorse, they now also make a cosmetics brush for it. So you can vibrate foundation or moisturizer or whatever, you know, makeup into your skin. Mm. Yeah. It's not quite airbrushing, but you can basically use it like an ultrasonic, paintbrush and sort of get things in, and it works like a charm. It's wonderful.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. It's fun.
All right.
So the next tool that you have is called the Girl on the Go Insulated Trench Coat. Sounds like something Marlo Thomas and That Girl would wear.
Yes. Yes. It's that. This is the coat from Eddie Bauer that I recommend to everyone. A friend on Twitter was looking around for, she had just moved into the Pacific Northwest, and Eddie Bauer is a Pacific Northwest brand. I grew up outside of Seattle, and everyone there knows Eddie Bauer, but the Girl on the Go insulated trench coat is fully waterproof and has a button-in insulated lining that you can take in or take out. So you can wear it, and I wore mine all over the world. I've worn it in Toronto, in New York. It got me through a New York rainstorm. I wore it at the Gylfloss in Iceland. I've worn it through Scotland. It's really perfect for days that where you don't quite know what's going to happen weather-wise. The lining is sort of thin enough that it's pretty packable, and the coat itself is very light and easy to wear. And crucially, it comes in petite, tall, and plus sizes in a bunch of different colors. So everyone can have one. It's one of the things that I love, and I carry it with me like everywhere.
I love the way it looks. It reminds me for some reason of something that characters in Blade Runner would wear.
Yes, that's probably the other reason I enjoy it.
It's really like got that cool kind of Asian elegance, minimalist feel to it.
Yeah, there's a kind of weird, Eddie Bauer is actually weirdly good at that. They don't really get a lot of credit for it, especially in Canada here. Everyone just, a lot of the status symbol is to wear Canada Goose because it's so expensive. But I wear that jacket from Eddie Bauer. And then my parka is also the stadium parka from Eddie Bauer. And I love it. It's fully down. It's fully washable. Both of these products are like, you can throw them in the washer or dryer, which I love. And obviously with a down coat, you throw it in with some tennis balls, but that's neither here nor there. And they're fully waterproof. And they're so in any environment where you have to deal with not just rain, but like snow or sleet, it's really, really, it's just worth it. It's worth the investment. And even then, it's like, it's not terribly expensive compared to what you'll get charged by other companies, like, you know, by other competitors. So
yeah, $120 or so, looks like.
Yeah, exactly. It's about $120, and that's not bad compared to what you can be charged for a very similar item.
Right. So this look is very sort of, there's a very straight look to it, and it has a integrated flap over the front, which disguises the zipper, which gives it this sort of very avant-garde or kind of a futuristic look. And it has a hood as well, if I'm reading this.
Yes, correctly. Yeah, and the hood works really, really well.
And high neck things. So all that gives it a kind of a stylish look.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know. I guess so. I mean, I've never heard it. That's not why I bought it. I mean, it was, I would consider something else a bit, I would consider like a true proper, you know, trench coat a bit more stylish. But what I like about this is that it can kind of go anywhere. You can kind of wear it to a bunch of different things, which when you travel a lot or if you fly a lot is really important.
And you say it's thermophile, so it kind of probably rolls up to be a fairly small.
Yeah, yeah. I've taken it, you know, you can sort of pack it. You can, if you're not sure if you're going to wear it on a plane, you can just throw it into your bag. It's pretty easy. It also means that if you're out for a day and you want to take the lining out, if it suddenly gets sunny and you want to take the lining out, you can just basically jam the lining to the back of a bag or the bottom of a bag. And that you can also wash the lining separately if you want to.
Okay. That is a cool tool.
Very good.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
that's a good one. Yeah. I think that my wife would really like this. So
it's good.
Yeah. The next one you have are some clear packing envelopes. I guess this is for like travel.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you guys had like heard something similar or already covered something like that, but I use the Travelon clear packing envelopes for both for packing, both for travel and for just everything in my house. Like there are clear packing envelopes all over my bedroom. They're like, I have a couple that I carry with me in various bags that I might be using. I'm a big bag full of bags person.
I knew that right away. Pretty obvious.
I'm a big bags full of bags person because it allows me to change bags really easily. It's like, oh, this is the cosmetics bag. It goes in here. This is the bag full of like cables and dongles. It goes here. This is the bag that's full of stickies and stationery and pens, and it goes here. And do I need the pens bag today? Yes. Do I need the cosmetics bag today? Yes. Do I or no? Or do I need and. The clear packing stuff, the clear packing envelopes really help with that in that they can get you through security a bit faster and help you find stuff more quickly. I mean, I know the code for my bags of bags, but other people don't necessarily. And if you're working with people, like if you're facilitating a workshop or something, like it's way easier to describe like, no, I need the bag that's full of this.
So these come in different sizes, and
yes,
it's clear rather than a net. If you describe them, they're kind of like a heavy duty zippered bag that is clear on one side and not clear on the other side, or they're clear on both sides.
They're clear on both sides. Sometimes there's like a pattern or something like that. That you know, I think it's like a pattern of little airplanes or something. But the in case you hadn't like got the message about what they were for. But so they're clear vinyl pouches with a sort of subtle pattern on them. I think they come in black and then pink and some other colors. And they come in, you know, it's a series of I think 7 or 9 like nesting pouches, so you can get them quite small but also quite fairly large enough to throw in you know, anything like wet things like wet shoes or like bathing suits or anything that you've gotten like wet or stained or something, or you spilled something on it or whatever. There's enough to throw that into one, so that even if you're traveling with something that's like wet or damp or whatever, you can seal it off from the rest of your luggage, like any other dry bag, right? But you can also do that for anything liquid you already have, like pens, cosmetics, like, you know, medicine, baby food. I don't know. I don't have children, so I don't travel with children, but I'm told that the need for dry bags increases.
So there's a lot of people who kind of pack with packing cubes. That's the big thing for them. Now, do you also go in that direction? And then do these fit into the packing cube philosophy, or are this separate?
I think they do. I think like they're part and parcel of that packing cube philosophy. And I do have packing cubes that I use sometimes. I travel as much as I can with a small carry-on bag that's extendable. It's I can actually find it for you. It's a actually I had a beautiful bag that was a beautiful I forget what the brand name was, but it got ruined by the airline. Who was I flying with? Qatar Air destroyed my bag on the way between Dubai and Montreal. My bag between Qatar Air and WestJet. My bag like sort of got a chunk taken out of it.
Ouch.
And so I was given another one. And so now I'm, I don't know, this was a packing cubes question. Sorry. I do sometimes use, packing cubes, but with the new bag that I have now, they don't fit as well.
I see.
So I do use them sometimes. What I use them for is shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I use them for shoes and I use them to separate, different categories of things,
mm-hmm.
like different categories of stuff that I'm traveling with,
mm-hmm.
so that when I'm extremely jet lagged, I can find it again. when I have slept through an alarm or if, mm-hmm. If that happens, or if I'm extremely jet lagged, I always know what, you know, where things are, but I also unpack as soon as I hit a hotel. Like the first thing I do usually is to hang things up. So
you have a few here, but I want to be able to talk about your latest novel, Company Town. So I'm just going to pick one here, kind of at random. You've got some good ones here.
There's a few. Like I wasn't sure what you would be most interested in.
I actually would like to hear about the Hamilton Beach set and forget programmable slow cooker. And like you said, it's the era of the Instant Pot, but this one looks cool. And I like the built-in meat thermometer aspect of it. So tell me about
it. All right. I will talk about that. So I use the slow cooker that we have at home is the set and forget slow cooker with a built-in meat thermometer. And in the era of the Instant Pot, I recognize it's probably passe to recommend a slow cooker, but I really like the meat thermometer function that it has, because it means that you could program the device to bring a piece of meat to temperature and it immediately just kicks off into the warming mode after. So one of the problems that is endemic to slow cookers, or has been endemic to slow cookers, is that they overcook mm-hmm. things. And this prevents you from doing that, and works really well. And it's one of the things, again, like the coat or like other things, it's one of the items that I have recommended to people and they've gotten back to me and told me how pleased they were with it.
And you mentioned Instant Pot, and of course people have recommended that. Have you used it, or how does it compare to the Instant Pot?
I don't own one yet, so I can't really say. I can't honestly tell you.
Okay. And I don't know if you, have you heard from the people who have recommended whether any of them were Instant Pot users and they were converted or?
No, I mean, I haven't done enough cross-referencing to see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It looks good. And I just, more and more in life, my wife and I have discovered that like one pot meals are the way to go. It's like,
yes,
it's so convenient. You don't need to clean up as much. You get a lot mm-hmm. of leftovers. Like we made a really great curry last night, and that's what we had for lunch today, and we probably will have it for dinner tonight too. So
it's the way to go. It's way simpler and just way easier, and also an easier way to pack in more vegetables and more, you know, stuff that's good.
Yeah. How about you, Kevin? Do you do one pot meals?
Yeah, I do one pot. That's the way I cook. In fact, I'm cooking some curry tonight.
That's great.
So that's what we live on. When I cook, it's only one pot stuff.
Right.
So
Right.
You know, it could be ratatouille. Mm-hmm. It could be curries, chilies, gumbo.
And it always tastes better the second day, too, I think.
Yes.
It's weird.
Yes.
It's like it ages or something. It, like all the flavor mixes.
It does. The flavors melt together.
Yeah.
The flavors melt together.
It's so true. So we are now going to talk about what Gizmodo called the most twisted post-human novel you've ever read. I love that. That's great. So tell us about Company Town, and you know, without giving away too much, kind of set us up. What's it about?
Company Town is the story of Go Juna, who's she's a bodyguard for the United Sex Workers of Canada, Union Local 314, on a city that floats around an oil rig, 500 kilometers northeast of St. John's, Newfoundland. And she is working for the sex workers union when a new company buys the entire town and instantiates themselves as the new owners. They buy the entire city of New Arcadia, and they ask her to be the bodyguard for the heir to the throne, the heir to the company, a boy named Joel Lynch, who will one day inherit the company and who appears to be getting death threats from the future.
Wow. That all sounds
okay. When did you write this? How long ago?
I think it's, well, officially, like, it's a couple of years now. I mean, I had the idea for a long time, but the book came out in May of 2016, actually. May of 2016 was when it came out. And so it was quite the wild ride. It was the first book that I had with Tor, which was wonderful. They've been wonderful to me. And I got to promote it at Comic-Con. I got to, with Canada Reads, I actually got to go to Newfoundland and meet readers who had read the book who were Newfoundlanders. And that was incredibly special. That was extremely validating and wonderful to hear
people. Had you been to Newfoundland to do research?
No, I had not. Okay. I did a lot of research. The most fun part of the research process there was to listen to find samples of various Newfoundland accents. When I read it aloud, I don't do the accent, but there are five distinct Newfoundlander accents, and so I had to listen to samples on YouTube and find samples so that I could be writing in the voice and find different sort of, you know, pieces and idioms and things to include into the book. And it was really, really, really fun.
I have a friend who's a science fiction writer, Daniel Suarez, and he had this book, Change Agent, which was set in Malaysia, and it happened off the east coast of Malaysia, this long drive. And I was sure, it was so vivid and so detailed, I was sure that he had gone to Malaysia to research it. He said, no. What he did was he set up two screens and he did Google Street View and he drove the whole way.
Yep, yep.
In Google Street View.
I have done that myself.
I love
it. Yes, it'll tell you a lot.
I thought that was
brilliant. That's so good.
It's a fun thing to do. I also ended up looking at like old joke books and old church cookbooks.
Oh, interesting!
Local
from
literal local flavor.
Cool. Wow. So I was going. Wow. First of all, I just wanted to say, you know, like you had mentioned, it won a number of awards. But if you go to the page on Amazon, you see that it was a finalist in many different awards. And the other thing I wanted to just ask you about, I really like to listen to novels via Audible. Are you happy with the reader for the audiobook?
Yeah, they were the Audible reader and I talked about the book, and she was really attentive in finding out sort of who I heard in my head. She asked for even samples, like she asked for samples of what the the voice should sound like who I had cast in my head when I was writing the book, like who I heard in my own mind as I was writing. She wanted to know about, she made sure about things like how to pronounce certain words, but they also found a Korean American actress who could pronounce certain Korean words like actually accurately. And so it was a really wonderful process to work
with. That's great. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that's the way that I will go with it is through Audible.
Yes. Please enjoy it.
Yeah. So Madeline, this has been great talking to you. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with Kevin and I.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. Thank you for the invitation.